Folks, it's that time of year again. Time where everybody frantically starts buying stuff for the holiday season. I know it seems a little early, but it's going to sneak up on you. Well, here at NonPro, we've got your back. We're going to give you a holiday buying guide for all the latest awesome things in video games. Some stuff for those of you who are complete novices or looking something for your friends or family, want to surprise them in the holiday season. And then a little bit of deep cuts for people who are hardcore gamers. And it's going to be an interesting thorough review of all the things you could waste your money on, because that's what the reason for this season is. That and also, like, astronomy. You know, like, the distance of the Earth from the sun.
Oh,
those
yeah,
are the
yeah,
two
yeah.
reasons for the season.
I was going to say snow, but that makes more sense.
There's also, like, weather patterns. Other reason for the season. There are some religious significance. There are multiple reasons for this season, but we're going to concentrate on the one that involves Filthy Luca, which is not the name of any of the games we're going to review. I'm not sure. So I'm a little bit more clueless than you guys. So I'm going to ask you guys a lot of feedback and give me some ideas of what you're thinking. I'm here with Al, James, Pope, and Matt. Frank and Pete are going to be here as well, trying to ask the important questions like, will it microwave?
Will it blend?
Will it blend? All right, so first of all, number one, to play all these wonderful video games, you need to have a console that's powerful enough to run them. I've tried shoving Xbox One discs into my NES, and it just leaves a bloody mess of my knuckles. What are the big systems this year?
I mean, the biggest system to talk about is the Switch.
Also the littlest! I'm sorry. I apologize immediately.
Yeah. It's exciting. Nintendo's back on top this year. It released the Switch earlier this year. It's a semi-portable slash home console that you can take on the road, on the go, and hook up to your TV, which is really exciting. It's cool. It's great for the kids. It's great for long car rides. It's great at home. It's got games for many players, as well as games like Breath of the Wild, which, you know, are great single player experiences.
Yeah, I actually own a Switch, believe it or not. I find that quite shocking.
Yes.
Because, yeah, I know. People are very into my personal life. It's a cool party game. I enjoy playing it with lots of other people. That's a big fun aspect of it. I really don't have the bandwidth to have portables and home consoles anymore. So this kind of is a nice little niche. My one issue with it would be, like, if you're in a multi-kid family and everybody has their own Switch, it seems a little crazy, except price point isn't that off from, like, a high-end portable. It's a little bit more pricey, but you get a lot more bang for the buck.
Yeah, I mean, look, if I have six kids, I'm probably not buying each one a Switch, but, you know, if you're you could probably buy two.
You're good. If you could get away with two, and even one is great. Switch is actually, yeah, the most popular thing. Definitely, there are bundles out there right now. If you could secure a bundle from any of the major companies that are offering it right now, I think it's probably worth it. But I will actually go out on the limb and say, since you're shopping early enough, if you don't bundle, you might save yourself some money. Just make sure you buy the game you want. It's been out long enough where some of the games have already moved into the used pile, so you can actually get it for a little bit of a discount.
And then the big tip would be to start looking for this early. Switch will probably be a hot item this Christmas, so try to find it while you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm going to get a Wii U this Christmas.
It's interesting. You know, the migration is really cool, because the Wii was revolutionary. It was one of the later, like, age Nintendo consoles that really made it awesome. Wii U kind of just sort of flopped. But, like, it flopped, but you could see how its DNA was moved into the Switch with that whole port that made, I don't remember the name of the console.
The touchpad.
Yeah, screen controller.
Yeah, yeah.
I do. I own it. It's very dusty.
But my Switch is constantly running on a battery because I'm playing it so much.
Since your battery is always running out, just make sure you buy one of those phone charging batteries that has the USB-C input.
Yeah, that's
that
really
way
cool.
You can just plug it in, and even if it doesn't completely, you know, run it like it's AC power, it'll at least double the length of your battery.
I actually charge my phone on my Switch charger. Which, all right, that's, I guess, not interesting for everyone. That's I think, a good choice on what to go for with consoles. But not everybody is into, you know, casual play games. And there are a little bit more hardcore gamers out there, maybe in your family.
The one caveat of the Switch is that it's a Nintendo console, so it's very highly specialized. You're not going to get a lot of the mainstream games and also many of the hardcore games on the Switch, unless they make specialized ports. The nice thing about the Xbox One X is that it plays all your very super popular games like Call of Duty, Destiny, etc., etc. Looking into the Xbox One X, it's the Xbox One on kind of like steroids. It has 4K support, bunch of improvements, hardware improvements. So it, I think if you're looking for to get getting into like next gen gaming, if you look, Xbox One X might be something to look for instead of just looking for a regular Xbox One.
But just remember, if you're buying an Xbox One X, it does output to 4K. So if you really want to get the most out of the experience, you're also going to need the TV to support that. Not that it won't do output HD on your, you know, standard widescreen TVs.
You're paying for it.
Yeah, it will be a little bit of an investment if you don't have a 4K TV.
So if I have just have my regular HD TV, that like there's no reason for me to get a 4K machine since I'm at no point benefiting from that.
Future-proofing. If you think you might be upgrading, and if you feel like you're going to be dipping your feet into the hardcore, or if you're, again, the first part of this podcast is for like, you know, entry-level people.
Right.
If you're shopping for somebody who is very much into this kind of stuff, that is a wonderful splurge gift. That is something that's like super impressive.
If you have the choice, you might as well go for the best one, because like Frank said, it'll still work on an HDTV, and you have a little bit of security in case if you or whoever you're getting this for decides to upgrade, you're already all set.
Here's a question I have. There are a couple of Xboxes on the market. I'm an uninformed parent. How do I know which one is which? So the Xbox One X is the high-end version, but there's a new slim Xbox out right now. What if I don't want to spend the full money on the 4K.
I definitely think that's where you go, right? You go with the Xbox One slim version. That's you're getting all the updates, a little less bells and whistles, a lot less price. I think if you're not going to go wrong as long as the person you're shopping for doesn't already have an Xbox. You know, if they already have an Xbox and they're probably not just looking for a little less shelf space.
Well, I just saw this thing. It's called an Xbox 360. And 360 is more than one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a good thing. That would win points with my grandkids, right?
If listeners at any point felt like that Pete made a good argument just there, this podcast is not going to be enough for you. You're going to need to contact us directly. Tweet us at NonPro. We have 280 characters to set you right. We'll tell you what you're really looking for. So if you or perhaps a well-meaning uncle is stumbling into this podcast, gently hit pause at this point. And then ask somebody, well, I guess you've already hit pause, but you should really ask somebody how to use Twitter, too. All right, so let's say you're not quite the casual gamer who likes the Switch, not quite the Xbox One X person. There's another animal in the room. We are not talking about that, and that is the Ouye. James, you remember how we both own an Ouye?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Those are sound investments.
I use my. I got mine pretty cheap, and I use it. I use it as a media streamer. It's
my
cool.
My emulation machine is fantastic.
There you go. Yes! Emulation is exactly what we use that for. Bing. Anyways, yeah, so we're going to the PS4. PS4 has been out for a year or 2 years.
Well, the PS4 Pro has been out for about a year.
Yeah. So PS4 has been out for a while. PS4 Pro is the latest version. The price has not dropped that much, but I think our advice, same benefits of the Xbox One that Matt talked about earlier. You're going to get all your major titles on it, but I think you're more likely to find good Black Friday deals for the PS4 Pro.
Yeah, Sony's very known to kind of push towards Black Friday and just kind of, you know, out from under the rug, just pull a price drop that nobody's even expecting. Also, going into the PlayStation 4, it's kind of a specialized system with which Matt alluded to before. You're going to get certain hardware that you don't get out of other systems, namely through their VR.
Oh, the PSVR? Yeah, yeah. I played one game with PSVR. It was the Star Trek Bridge Crew game, and it was just fun being in it. We were terrible. We could not play. We could not navigate the game for anything, but it was really nice looking around.
So with the VR, you're actually getting some larger ticket franchises coming in now. You got a Batman, Gran Turismo, Resident Evil.
So I have a question. Do you need the PS4 Pro to run PSVR?
I don't believe so.
No, I don't believe so. You could. I think you could definitely run it off regular PlayStation 4. But I think even more than Xbox One X, if you see the PS4 Pro, you definitely should just shoot for that, because like we mentioned, Black Friday sales, and I think there's definitely some like hardware improvements, like even if it's not like the 4K, it's just some nice like quality of life like hardware improvements, you might as well get it.
We've talked about these consoles. Let's talk about a little bit about these games that are coming out that are probably going to be hot ticket items coming soon. We have a couple of relatively mainstream titles that we'd like to guide you through, and then we're going to go through a few deeper cuts. Number one, this thing I am super excited about with the commercials I've seen on regular TV. Who wants to talk about Battlefront?
I do.
All right.
So I played the original, we've all played the original Battlefront, but I played EA's last attempt at Battlefront on the PS4, and to say that it was fine. It was a fine game, but it felt like it was missing something.
So what kind of game is this? It's like a war game and fighting game and
so Star Wars Battlefront is, it's kind of like Star Wars Call of Duty, almost.
Nice. All right, sold.
Except not really. It's
to say, it's closer to the Battlefield series, which is also made by EA and DICE, than Call of Duty. It's like a large-scale open warfare.
But you get a bunch of cool bonuses. The fact that it's in the Star Wars universe with this new game, you get hero units spanning the entire series. That includes our new characters like Rey, all the way to classic characters like who's classic enough?
Vader. Jar Jar.
Darth prequels, Vader. Obi-Wan.
Oh, all right. All right. Cool.
Luke.
And it has a...
pretty important to the series.
It has a whole flight simulator in there, too.
Oh, that's awesome!
Yeah, so you'll be able to earn the ability to fly the, you know, the signature ships.
Millennium Falcon?
From the series, you know, the that one, yeah.
Have you ever seen a Star Wars? All right, I'm definitely in favor of Battlefront. What else is there? There's some interesting things going on.
Oh, wait. Before you move on from Battlefront, you were sort of explaining Battlefront 1. The problem with Battlefront 1, the big one, was there was no game.
There was no story mode.
There was no story mode.
Just a multiplayer game. Yeah. So this game moves to fix that with a canon story about an Imperial officer that's going to span the from Return of the Jedi to The Force Awakens.
And it looks darn awesome.
It does. It looks really good.
All right. That sounds awesome. I'm in favor of Battlefront
2.
Electric Boogaloo. Battlefront 2, Electric Boogaloo. Yes. Do not be disturbed.
If you find a great deal on Battlefront,
walk away.
You want Battlefront 2.
All right. We've got Zelda and Final Fantasy. I know those are titles that have been out for a while.
Crossover?
Not quite. Both of these games, having come out months ago, seem like, you know, everybody's played them and they're gone. But both companies, Square and Nintendo, are putting a lot into their downloadable content for games. So by chance you miss these games or you are hoping for a new breath in there, you can pay for what we call a season pass, or if not, go back and buy a complete version of the game, which includes all of the downloadable content, and literally get vastly expanded content, which is coming out now for each game.
So for newbies, because they may be still listening at this part of the podcast, that's basically you bought the game, you already own it, but you could actually pay more and actually get more content that you download off the internet.
Correct, yes.
All right.
But you do need the original game.
Yes.
So if you know a little bit, if you, again, are kind of a rookie about this and you know a little bit about who the friend or family member you're trying to buy a game for, if they're a big fan but they're saving up their coins for a DLC, that might actually be a very easy way to get you a last-minute stocking stuffer or something really quick that you don't really have to worry about them running out of. That's going to be like a big problem with a lot of these systems and consoles we've been talking about.
And I was going to say, you can conveniently buy DLC passes for some of these games if your, you know, family member or friend doesn't have it, just on Amazon, and they'll give you a code for it. Great stocking stuffer.
Nice. All right, next on my list is Destiny 2.
Yes, Destiny 2 is definitely one of the big heavy hitters out in for the, both the hardcore and casual markets. If you have a family or a friend that's into shooters, more likely than not, they know about Destiny 2 and they're wanting to try it out. It's been out for a while for Xbox One and PlayStation 4, but it also just got released on PC through Blizzard. So that's a very big thing that's going on right now. And they just announced some new DLC that's coming up. So while the game has kind of been a bit of a lull since people have been finishing it, it's definitely going to be getting a lot more players back into it with a new DLC coming, and so there'll be nice healthy player base for the jump in. So the game's far from being done. They're planning on churning out more stuff for a long while. So it's a good long-term investment.
I would assume, like, the three major additions they had for the previous game, they'll probably at least go that far with Destiny 2.
Probably, if not more.
Yeah, it's a lot of bang for your buck, and I think that's pretty cool. So some of the stuff we're talking about are deeper cuts aren't so deep. You've probably seen your friends or family members talking about them and wearing t-shirts and just obsessing about it a lot. And that one that, for me, is definitely, like, has reached cultural zeitgeist is Cuphead. Cuphead is huge.
Yeah, it's gotten really, really big. And I think it has a lot to do with the art style. Like, you look at that game, and it does look like you're playing a cartoon.
Yeah, it's like a 1930s style animation cartoon thing, and it's really cool. Very compelling to look at.
Yeah, heavily inspired by, like, the Betty Boop cartoons and stuff like that, if you want to have a reference of what to watch and kind of get a feel for what this thing is aiming for. It's just like a kind of a side-scrolling 2D shooter slash platformer. It's surprisingly fun, but unbelievably hard. I definitely don't think that's a strike against it, though. I feel like it's definitely something. I wouldn't call it Dark Souls hard for those that know what Dark Souls is, but I would certainly say it's very difficult. It's just about trial and error over and over again. And I think it gives you enough of a, like, there's save spaces or checkpoints along the way for you to be able to survive, memorize your enemies, like, fighting pattern and get through the things without dying horribly consistently.
It's almost impossible to do perfectly, but it is certainly possible to play often.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different types of boards and games within it. It changes up the play style pretty well. Again, it's a big hit. It's been out for a while. I think it's definitely an easy win with this game.
Absolutely.
And the last we have on our list for the titles that are pretty comfortable is on the Switch, we have Skyrim. That's what's interesting about this and a lot of the games we're talking about is Skyrim is old. It's been out for quite a while, but getting a portable port of a game that was at its time cutting edge and difficult, had a high threshold to get involved in, I think is potentially going to be very interesting.
And yeah, you've seen success already with, like, Legend of Zelda, that people are willing to spend 100 hours on a game that, you know, they might be, you know, standing at a handheld, you know, point playing, you know, walking around outside or something like that.
And I think there's still a large enough audience, especially a Nintendo audience, that has not gotten around to playing Skyrim yet, that you picking this up and getting it for the Switch, like, it's a whole new world for them to invest in after being done with Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, Skyrim looks like it's going to be pretty damn interesting on the Switch. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to deal with a few deeper cuts, and then we're going to delve into the world of virtual reality. Reality. We should really add a reverb effect on that. It's going to sound
cool.
Weird.
All right.
Yeah, I'll remember
Frank
to do that.
The reverb.
Yeah, sure. All right, back now for a couple of deeper cuts. All right, these are games I know nothing about, which is saying a lot. First on our list, Evil Within 2, also Electric Boogaloo.
I was not a huge fan of the first one.
What is the first one?
Well, the first one's a survival horror game, and I like the second one a lot more because it does away with a lot of the subterfuge or attempts of subterfuge that happened in the first one, where you know, it's very clear from the beginning, like, hey, I'm a guy that's going in and diving into another person's brain, and that person's brain is filled with horrible things that are probably going to kill me. And it's very much just about, like, you surviving this weird network of humans that have all gotten together inside this kind of VR thing they plug themselves into, and this sort of nightmarescape that they're kind of dealing with, which does unfortunately often mean that you're going to be dealing with Homestead with zombies, but nonetheless, it's still really cool. And there are monsters that are of nightmares, as you would imagine, because they're coming literally from
truly frightening.
It sounds like Second Life, the video game. Wait,
no, but yes.
So, what's some of the most fun you've had with this game?
I would definitely say, like, I like the crafting system in this game, which isn't...
Nothing says survival horror like crafting.
Well, unfortunately, that's true. A lot of survival horror games these days are all about the crafting and having limited amount of resources and able to more or less make the weapons and ammo that I need.
It's as if survival horror games were designed by and for office managers. I don't know if I have enough paperclips to make it through the end of the quarter.
There you go.
It's very disturbing.
But beyond that, I also like that it's it isn't just an open world game. It allows me to have some open world breaks, but also will give me some moments when I can just have linear storytelling. And I just go through a level that's just straightforward. And I'm, you know, fighting off monsters or running away from monsters. And I like that it does that. I like that I can have that break. I don't have to always be Grand Theft Auto, open world, running around through people's houses. I can, you know, sometimes I want to go on this really creepy adventure and, like, have a woman made up of arms and hair attack me, and it's
I feel
really
like
scary.
You play this game yet still can't actually describe any of the monsters in it, because you're very a woman made out of arms.
Well,
we'll say.
No, she is, because, like, she's literally made out of arms. And
so,
like, oh.
So Evil Within 2, it's been out for a while. You highly recommend it.
Yeah, I would say it's perfect. It's a huge improvement on the first one. Definitely
very cool.
All
right, so some news that's pretty like fresh off the presses. Matt, you want to talk a little bit about Dot Hack?
Yes, Dot Hack GU Recode is a remake of a trilogy back from the PlayStation 2 of the classic Dot Hack GU series. Namco Bandai just released it on PC and PlayStation 4. It's not just a quick deal and just to get it out. They put a lot of effort. They redid all the graphics. They redid the cinematics. They added a whole bunch of quality of life improvements that they didn't have back during the PS2 days. So it's more easier and fun to play, and they even added a new chapter, so it's now a four chapter game instead of three. Dot Hack is kind of like a very, I'd say it's one of the more obscure RPG series, especially since the, like, but it's really unique in the fact that it kind of like emulates MMOs like World of Warcraft, and even it's fun to take a look back and see what they predicted and got right in terms of like how MMOs operate. So if you're looking for a game that you might have missed, or even if like you haven't even heard of it, and you're looking for a JRPG, definitely check this one out.
And for those that aren't aware, Dot Hack is a series that's about a person playing a video game. So when Matt's talking about being in an MMO, that's kind of what this is. It's before MMOs got really popular. It was basically about a game where you pretended to be a person that was playing an MMO. So you're playing a character, it's playing a character.
Oh my god, it's it's snake swallowing its own tail.
It's Inception.
You have a fake computer with a fake desktop and fake internet forums.
Yep.
But you have to play this on a real computer.
Yes.
Or a console. Very, very interesting.
My brain.
All right, sounds good. Have you gotten a chance to play it yet?
I haven't had a chance yet, just reading impressions. Fans of the series are definitely loving it, and people that are just finding it out are being pleasantly surprised and kind of regretting missing it out in the first time. So people seem to be having fun.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Next on our
list. That hurt my brain. Is there like a new version of Paperboy coming out?
Possibly in the form of Xenoblade. Who wants to walk us through Xenoblade Paperboy Edition?
So yeah, Xenoblade Chronicles 2, despite being the second game in the series, is going to be the first huge outing from the Switch of having a true JRPG.
Cool.
So any fans of the genre will have the chance to finally whet their appetite through the Switch now.
All right, very nice. So we got a little bit of JRPG action in our deep cuts. Is it that RPGs aren't the most popular format of video game out there in the world?
They're getting there, but they've always struggled. They always have.
Particularly in the American market, right? The JRPG, the Japanese RPG, is a big thing, obviously, overseas, but maybe not so much here.
Where overseas?
Overseas in Japan.
Oh, that would explain the
JRPG.
Got it. JRPG. Nice.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Speaking of VR, we're speaking of VR. So VR is eternally on the edge of breaking through and being relevant in every case. There's a lot of cool VR titles out now for the PlayStation VR we brought up briefly earlier. HTC Vive. There's a lot of neat stuff going on there. Let's quickly discuss a few of our favorite things that are in the works. I already talked about Star Trek Bridge Crew, which is a very fun immersive game. You definitely feel like you're on the bridge, but you also feel a lot like a pretender on the bridge who's just sort of like, I wonder if anybody knows that I don't actually have a degree. That's how I feel. If you're okay with that and pressing that one control button that lets you see outside the spaceship the entire time, you're gonna have a ball. That's an awesome game.
I'm excited. Star Wars Battlefront 2 will have a VR element
in the flight sim.
I don't know.
We
don't know much about it yet, but it's a first-person VR element that's going to be packaged with the game.
Bob, do we actually have some info?
Yeah, it's an X-Wing VR mission.
Oh, yes! All right! Nice! That's sweet. I don't know why it's cooler for an X-Wing. I think it's because of the helmets.
Yeah, 100%. The helmets.
Yeah, I think the helmets make me feel like, yep, they're in a VR system right there. I like that. I like that a lot. Doom VR is supposed to be amazing. And Doom was a game when I originally played it on my PC back in the day, like lights out, right up close to the monitor, with my sound blaster blasting. That was very immersive and frightening. If there was ever creaks in the basement, I freaked out. So having a VR experience for that game, hell yes.
Actually, that goes completely full circle for me, because I remember being on the New Jersey boardwalk when I was very young, probably not even a teenager. They actually had one of those like VR pod setups where like you had to stand in a circle and you had like bars around you and you had this big clunky helmet on that you had to turn around with the two controllers, and I played Doom in VR.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so this is that's really cool. And I feel like I need, just for story's sake, to play this new Doom in VR. Nice. Just to have everything
for completion.
Complete the circle.
Yeah, yeah. So as part of our holiday buying guide, I think we advise you to buy a house, find a room in your house, paint the walls green, put in a PC in there, put in an HTC Vive, just go nuts playing Doom and having nervous fits, and eventually you too will be a crazed person in Evil Within 3. And then eventually someone will have to dot hack into the game you're playing until eventually they will rescue you through Cuphead's Zelda Mario.
Paperboy!
Hooray! Yes! Speaking of Paperboy, would that actually show up in any of the retro gaming things that have come out? It would have been NES. I don't think it was an NES.
No, the Paperboy did not show up in either the NES Classic or the SNES Classic.
Get the NES Classic or the SNES Classic and check yourselves. That is a gift that we'll keep on giving.
I have Paperboy if you want it, Frank. I mean, just...
Nope.
Okay.
Paperboy is useless without the handlebar controllers.
Yeah, it's not really VR unless you have the handlebar controllers.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.
Hey, so Overwatch is still a thing, and also they just released the new character. So for those of you that haven't actually ever tried Overwatch,
we're not live. You don't have to.
Yeah, you don't have to fill for time.
Oh, okay, never mind. Pope said this, and I went for it. I'm sorry.
Pope's never right.
Nice job.
This is just for Matt, but I played that game, Matt. I played Doki Doki, whatever.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you beat it, or did you? Or how far did you get?
No, I beat it.
Oh,
two Doki Doki Panic?
Yeah.
Yeah, I beat it.
You made some really good friends, huh?
Oh my god. I'm glad there's that warning there.
Yeah, we have to, sometime we'll have to discuss it. So definitely shoot me.
Yeah, I don't want to discuss it too much because I almost want all of these people to play it.
Oh no, we definitely don't. Oh. Like this is perfect for our non-pro stream.
I will do this.
Yes.
I don't know what this is, but I will do it.
Oh man, yeah, no, totally.
Are we doing this?
Totally for a non-pro stream.
What kind of game is this? What?
It's a dating sim.
Oh, okay.
All right, cool. Let's do this.
That's all it took for Al.
Oh,
I was like, anime lady dating sim. I'm in. Well, it's very different than Dream Daddy.
James, your mic technique is garbage.
I'm sorry.
What's wrong? Why are you doing this? There's no need.
You said the game is Doki Doki Panic?
No.
No, Doki Doki.
You fool!
No,
that was me.
I know Doki
Panic. Literature Club. Doki Doki Panic. No, Doki Doki
Panic. That's the game that became Super Mario 2.
I was going to say, Doki Doki Panic is
Super Mario 2. Yeah. No, Doki Doki Literature Club is the name of the
game. This part that we're all barely on mic is definitely going to go into the show. All right, man.
The best thing is it's free.
Oh, really?
It is entirely free.
Yeah, it's
oh,
free.
Oh, man, we got to do that. We got to check that out. All right, it's on my list. Yeah.